Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, it's such a good time seeing you. You are looking so alive, thank goodness.
Yes, not quite undead.
Not yet, but we are so happy to be back and get into another episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Only yes. Episode 2. We have such a long journey ahead. I am very happy about that. How are you feeling about this new endeavor that we've taken on?
I like the second episode. I feel like it gave a lot of context to episode 1, because we were very like, okay, do people know vampires exist? Like, what's the lore in this world? You know, how does it work? I felt like episode 2 really not only provided that for us, but also got rid of a pesky side character that truly and honestly I didn't care about anyway. So it's like, good. We're getting our core group together. You know, we have kind of like our own version of like, what is it? Scooby-Doo? What's the mystery people? What are they called?
Isn't it called the Mystery Gang?
Mystery Gang. So we have our own version of like the Mystery Gang together. I'm really liking it. I'm understanding the lore a little bit more. This episode I thought was a really good second part to the first part of the premiere. I'm really liking it. I'm finding it fascinating. And listen, I can watch Buffy do these like flippy kicky moves for like a lot of time, you know?
Yeah, she's an amateur gymnast. I wouldn't even say amateur. I would say that
she was Simone Biles last episode, Sarah.
Yeah, she's definitely an advanced gymnast and doing some really cool stunts. Some that I feel like, I mean, Xander referred to her as a superhero with this episode. Mm-hmm. I think that she's, I mean, not that far off. Did you see her hop the fence? She basically flew.
She is very, yeah, she's able to do a lot of things that I was like, okay, I'm checking this off the list. She has super strength. Check. She's a gymnast. Check. She can leap really high things, I guess. Jump over really high things. Check.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she got the hurdles down.
She got the hurdles down. So yeah, we're covering the harvest. It's the harvest. We get more from Vampire Daddy this episode. A lot of vampire deaths this episode, which was exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's kill them off one by one.
Yes, please. Them and their counter. Did we what?
Do we need a counter?
That feels like a lot of work to be keeping track. I mean, of honestly, dying.
Honestly, truly, I think that you're probably going to have to help me with some of the lore. I I gotta be honest with you, as soon as Giles started talking, I started like falling asleep.
And it's really fair because he's like, he feels like he talks like he's like 100 years old.
I mean, I guess that's just a British thing, but I legitimately had to rewind it 4 times just to try to grasp a sentence and a half of this lore. And I think it's because I'm not really somebody that gets into science fiction or fantasy lore. It's not something that excites me. It's a little bit more of your passions.
I appreciate the world building. Yeah. I want to know what the world is like. Are vampires a thing? Do people know about them? Do people know about slayers? Like, how many vampires are wandering around in the world? Yeah. And beyond that, are we going to see other things like that are usually show up in either sci-fi or fantasy, like werewolves? You know, like there are tons of other monstrosities that we could encounter, zombies, you know. Ooh. Are we going to get any of that?
Yeah,
I do think it's a possibility.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see where it does go. And I don't think that I thought it was boring. I just thought that it felt just like it was a lore dump, and you have to be in a mindset to absorb that type of stuff. And I think I caught, I don't know, 40% of it, just like an average student type of thing, you know?
Yeah, I get you. It was very exposition-y, but I felt like they did a good job at not making it, I'm trying to think of like not making it feel like I was getting a ton of lore dumped on me at the same point in time. Cause there was enough like action stuff pushing the episode forward.
Yeah. Like he was very like flippant about it. Like he was kind of just toting around all of his books, explaining it. So I really enjoyed it. And in terms of Buffy was definitely in her element of hitting and kicking and karate-ing and all of the above. And I thought that was interesting. I kind of felt like it was a little more hokey this episode than the pilot. Like, it felt more like 90s. I felt like the pilot could have been very timeless, aside from the you know, Power Rangers, Star Trek makeup. But I felt like this one felt a little bit more cartoonish. But that's just to say, like, I'm still very, very much enjoying it. We're in the very beginning. So much potential. But I think that the pilot was really, really, really strong. And I think it's hard to follow that up with the second episode.
Yeah, I think we're bound to feel like it's a little dated at times because it is dated. It's from the 90s.
Yeah, of course.
And I think like it's been nice hearing from people that like this is as bad as it gets is like season one, and it's only up from there. Because I feel like with a lot of shows that is not the case, especially a lot of shows we've watched, usually it tends to trend that like the consistency of the quality of the content tends to like dive off. And so it's nice to hear that like, no, season one, they're trying, they're figuring it out. It's not always great, but they're trying. And I feel like if I'm feeling pretty overall positive about the first 2 episodes overall, and like this is the worst season, that's pretty great, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm very much looking forward. So let's talk about the harvest. So we left off. I thought that Buffy was going to be dead.
She was in a very sticky situation, and it was like they wasted no time. 2 seconds in, she's like, you know what, Luke, you're a little like you and you're so simping for like daddy vampire. Mm-hmm. Take a cross in your face. Get off of me. I have my friends to save.
Right. So she's now wearing the cross necklace, and
it's so gaudy.
Very shiny. It seems as though it burns him.
So this is another piece of the lore of like, right. So we know they can't be out in the sunlight. Crosses burn them. Holy water is not great either. And if you want to kill one, you just wooden stake to the heart.
Got it.
Okay. Or I guess wooden stake anywhere, it seems like.
It seems so simple, yet so complicated to be a vampire slayer. I did feel like she kind of got out of this situation Much quicker and easily, more easy than I anticipated. It was
We saw so many vampires at the end of the last episode that I was like, oh, this is going to take her a minute to like figure out. No, she basically goes out to the graveyard, does some little kicky punchy things, grabs a branch off of a tree, stabs some vampires and saves two of her friends. Not Jesse, though, because who cares about him?
Well, I mean, like, sincerely, like, this is, like, the funniest thing is that they're like, where's Jesse? And they were like, oh, he got taken. And I love that Buffy throughout the episode is like, oh, that could be later's problem.
That was my favorite thing. It was not like, it never felt like there was a huge sense of urgency in saving Jesse.
No, even when, like, so, like, when they go back and they're hanging out with Giles, they're talking about it and they're, like, concocting a plan on how to get Jesse back. And they're like, yes, Buffy's like, yes, I will be going. I will save him. No worries. And I thought that we were going back to the graveyard. No, Buffy still has to make her curfew at 11:30. She goes home next day at school. She goes to school and before she tries to save Jesse. And I know she didn't figure out where yet, but also Buffy, you dumb hoe. Like, duh. It's like there's an entrance in the mausoleum. Of course it was. He just popped up out of nowhere.
Well, to give her, you know, she's a teenager. She got there eventually. But yeah, I love that they're like, oh, no big deal. We'll go home. Worry about this tomorrow morning at school. They immediately go visit Giles, who basically gives them like an entire briefing on how vampires like even exist in this world. And so now we find out, I feel like we were a little incorrect in that. Because of the way that Xander had said, oh, you're a slayer, we thought like, oh, this is common knowledge. But it turns out it's not, that neither Xander nor Willow were aware of like the existence of vampires nor slayers or anything like that. They're all getting this information brand new from Giles.
Yeah. And then, okay, so this is what I found interesting. Vampires are older than humans / mortals. Vampires are a product of demons getting with humans, and those people, the olden people, I think that they were called, or like the old ones, used to run the earth, and then eventually humans took over, something along the lines. Am I even remotely close?
Yeah, based on what I understood, it was like they descend from like demons. And then obviously when one vampire, you know, bites another one, you're creating more and they do the sucking, the back and forth sucking, multiple pleasures. Everyone's getting sucked.
Did you say his and her pleasure?
Yeah, for the pleasure. And so then more and more vampires were created. And then, of course, there's like the Slayer. And it's very interesting to me that Buffy first tries to like tell Xander like, no, that wasn't a vampire. But then pretty quickly, it's kind of like, okay, well, I guess Willow and Xander are involved now. So we might as well read them in on everything that's going on.
I took it as like she was just being a little bit snarky because she was saying like, I didn't believe any of it either when I first discovered that vampires existed, but they're here, they're there, but it's my responsibility, not yours. And
yeah, I'm the slayer. And I was yes, Buffy, tell that man who you are.
You are a basic mortal and I'm the slayer.
Yeah. Yeah, and he says, so Giles does say, like, basically it was, like, a demon's soul infected a human, and that's kind of how, like, vampires were created, and then they just made more of their own by basically, like, you know, mixing the bloods and all of that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think this – we got a little bit – here's the thing. So we have our little team now, right? This is our team because Jesse's going to be gone soon. He's a vampire now. This is our team. We have – obviously Buffy is the Slayer. Giles is the watcher. He watches and he seems like the lore keeper as well. You know, he's informed.
Yeah, I gotta say, librarians are very important, and I feel as though he is the keeper of information and the watcher of the people is as important a piece of the puzzle as the Slayer. Maybe not as important. Maybe only like 20% as important.
I would say like let's give Giles 30%.
You get 30.
And then Willow gets like 10% because she can – no, Willow cracked a database of some sort. She's like a hacker of sorts.
She can literally use the net. I did that when I was 8 years old. You know what?
But the thing is, Sarah, they need that because Giles calls the computer like a death machine or something. Mm-hmm. So he obviously is not getting on the net, as they call it.
Look, I worked my butt off in typing class learning how to use the net and Ask Jeeves. Willow is apparently a genius because she can Google.
Oh, I mean, we're going to give her 10% of the credit. The thing is – what is Xander bringing to the equation?
Nothing.
Nothing. He's bringing nothing. He's not helpful. He's getting himself into trouble. He's going where he shouldn't. He's disobeying the Slayer, which feels like a no-no to me. Mm-hmm. Xander, I have my eye on you. You seem like the weakest link currently. So I'm sorry to say, but he seems like the weakest
link. We will sacrifice you with no issue.
I mean, literally, Jesse was by far the weakest link, and he was sacrificed. So yeah. I'm willing to sacrifice almost anybody at this point.
Yeah, and you're not that cute.
He's really not. So as they're getting like read in on all this information in the library, we see that Jesse has been captured by the vampires, and he is going to be used as bait because Luke tells his master, Daddy Voldemort with a nose. Mm-hmm. He's like, listen, there's a Slayer in town, so we're going to have to do something. And they talk about Jesse being used as bait, which we don't exactly know what that means at this point, but obviously it becomes clear later what he's going to be used for.
Yeah, I definitely understand. They are in the know. They know if she's really the Slayer, then she's not going to just let Jesse go without a fight. She's going to try to rescue him. Mm-hmm. Seems like Buffy is probably going to be a culprit of a hero complex. We see that often with people having big responsibilities. Sometimes they just think that they're the only one that can solve things and have to take things on their shoulders. They don't ask for help. We see shades of that, but I think that it's kind of like Harry Potter, where Voldemort eventually used Harry's hero complex and need to save as a baiting and alluring tactic, and which usually got him in trouble. So, I mean, it happens like with people like this. Now, we also see Darla get into a little bit of trouble with the master.
Yes, because the master has been waiting 60, which I looked up and it means 60 years. He has been waiting 60 years for some pure ass blood. Not ass blood. Sorry.
Oh.
Some pure blood. He's like, I want a taste of the good stuff. Here's the thing. I thought the master wanted to eat babies because in my opinion, if you're going to have quote unquote pure blood and not in the Harry Potter sense, it's like the freshest blood. And what's more fresh than a baby?
But no, I guess what he wants meant, a virgin.
Which Jesse is. He wants to suck virgin blood. However, Darla couldn't keep her mouth to herself and was like, I'm going to get a little tasty taste before this goes to daddy.
Yeah. So he did not like that. He is mad. He said, I don't want your sloppy seconds. And she's like, we were supposed to have 4 of them. And I thought that she was going to get killed right away, but it seems like Darla is okay for now.
He's in a forgiving mood, I suppose. But he says,
he's like, you know what? It is Yom Kippur. It's all about forgiveness. Let me be your person that you confide your sins in. Like, who am I to judge? Only the greatest vampire.
I do think he needs them. You know, he's weak. He's not going to be at his full capacity until the harvest.
He can't go outside. You know what?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he can't even get his own food. So he really does need them. Like, he needs them more than they need him at this point.
Yeah. So, So Jesse is going to be their little bait that they're going to use. And Buffy immediately is like, I need to go find Jesse. I'm going to go find him right now. And Willow's like, but what about the police? And I was immediately like, Willow, in what world are the police any help? Never.
Certainly not in this world, not in Sunnydale. Basically, I think that they said that they're immune to guns as well.
Yeah, she was like, what are they going to do? Use their guns? And one of my favorite lines of this whole episode was Buffy being like, oh, and they took Jesse and they, boom, they went off. And Xander's like, oh, they can fly? And Buffy's like, no, they can drive, you moron. Literally, what is Xander contributing to this conversation?
Literally nothing. But I mean, I kind of saw Buffy flying in a sense earlier. So I don't know. She, maybe,
I don't think
or
she
later.
Can fly. That was a leap.
Oh my god, it was definitely something. But no, Xander doesn't have much to contribute. Also, once again, there is no urgency in finding Jesse at this moment. There is no let's go.
Well, I think it's because now. I think it's because Buffy needs to figure out where the heck they even took them.
I know, but that just makes my eyes roll so hard.
Well, it makes sense though, because she says they were in the sewer system, and it makes sense for them to be like a big fan because they don't have to be outside where the sun is, so they could travel almost anywhere in the town in the sewer system. And this is when Willow and her genius comes in, because she's like, guys, I can hack the like city database for all the like town tunnel system plans. Bada bing, bada boom, enhance, 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 here you go.
Yeah, so she has hacking abilities, which is actually very helpful.
That's what I'm telling you. She knows how to use the net.
She knows her way around the net. So they're looking for it. They're still brainstorming. They're like, where's the entrance? And gosh, what's Lucas up to here? He seems like a little agitated in the next scene.
Well, yeah, because Lucas is like, listen, she got the jump on me. Like, Buffy's actually pretty dangerous. Like, she's a slayer, and we need to be very careful around her.
All right. Well, Lucas, yeah. That wasn't a very interesting thing to contribute, but thank you.
Yeah. Thank well, you he's daddy's favorite. I mean, at least he didn't suck the blood of the mm-hmm. promised ones for daddy.
Oh, to be your parent's favorite. Wow.
Yes, he gets to kiss the ring.
I can't relate. So basically, Willow saves the day. They are brainstorming, and
these flashbacks are really funny because it's in like black and white, and we literally just saw this. So it was really funny to me, like the eureka moment of Buffy realizing, wait a minute, Lucas came out of nowhere. He couldn't have come from outside. He had to have come from there must be tunnels in the mausoleum we were in. So there has to be an entrance there.
Once again, duh, but baby, I'm just being a little fresh.
I mean, she had a lot going on at the moment. That's, you know, she true. Was being attacked. She had to save the day. She's the slayer.
Yeah,
it's a
it
lot
looks
of
like her arm hurts. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so then they're like, yes, we are going to go to the mausoleum, but not tonight because I have to make curfew and I'm kind of sleepy. So I'm going to go to school tomorrow and in my fabulous sunglasses and outfit, and I am going to leave. Now, this is also kind of funny to me because it's like, it's not like she left home and went straight to the mausoleum. She's like, I need to make it to homeroom so that when they take attendance, they make sure I'm marked here.
Well, this is the thing. It's so funny because obviously, you know, this is the problem with being a teen slayer. I don't know why a teen would ever be chosen to be slayer, because she can't even get off school campus without the freaking stupid principal getting in her face about leaving. And she has her sunnies on and she's like trying to walk out the gate. Never in my life would I ever imagine this would actually happen at a real school where the principal is so honed in on things. He sees a single student trying to leave and he's like, you are not leaving school grounds. This also felt kind of illegal to me. And I don't know if it is.
Wait, I think that once you're on school and if you're a minor, you need to be at school. It's illegal not to go to school.
But what if she had an emergency and she was trying to leave?
You got to get picked up by an adult.
I guess
Don't
so.
You remember? Like, you weren't allowed to.
I never tried anything. To leave. I don't know.
Of course you didn't.
Why would I try to leave? I don't want to get caught.
Because maybe you had vampire slaying to do. I don't know. I don't know your business. So she tries to make an excuse, says the Giles sent her on like a special mission.
Yeah, to go get a book or something.
Yeah, the principal's like, no way. I don't know what those Brits do over in Britain, but you're not leaving. He's like, there's like weird monarchy stuff. They have a lot of problems over there. You're here. I'm locking you in.
Yeah, he closes the gate in her face. And he's just like, you need to stay here. And so he walks away. She waits 2 seconds. And then she just leaps. Like, no problem. Doesn't even get a running start.
No. That's what I'm saying. It looks like freaking flying. Also, do you see how cute those booties are?
They were very cute.
Those are cute.
Okay, but you know what's not cute? Xander's hideous psychedelic mushroom like button down that he's wearing.
Oh yeah, this is very, I don't know why, but in the 90s people were very into neon mushrooms and neon, those alien heads, you know, those green alien heads.
People loved those.
Yeah, I don't know why. I think it's because the 70s had like a resurgence in terms of fashion, and I remember inflatable furniture came back and was pretty huge. I had an inflatable chair and also doorway beads, if you know what I mean, and lava lamps. All of that came back.
Yeah.
All that came back. So I think like maybe this is like an ode to the 70s resurgencing into the 90s. And
it's awful. It's so ugly.
It's pretty ugly. It's like zebra. It's atrocious.
And let's also just point out the fact that Xander is trying to pull off Sean Hunter hair, but he simply cannot. He simply cannot. It's not a good look. It's like too short. It's a little bit too short in the front, and then it's longer in the back. It's a little weird. But him and Willow were having a conversation, and it's very obvious by the way he's saying like, oh, you should go to class. And she's like, don't you mean we should go to class? She's basically like, don't follow Buffy. She's the Slayer. You're just a teen white boy. Like, stop being dumb, Xander. And we all know Xander's going to do the dumb thing and go there without Buffy.
I don't know. Okay. Like, hold up. If your best friend got taken away, and wouldn't you want to try to... Like, his best friend got taken away, you forgot to mention, by vampires. I mean, I feel like it'd be really hard to just sit back and wait to see if your best friend comes back home.
That's fair, but I also think it's dumb of him to do it alone. Like, I think it's
He's not going to be alone. He's going to be with Buffy, the vampire slayer.
He's going by himself. He's not even going with Buffy. Well, Buffy's there by herself.
He found her pretty soon.
But so Willow tries to be like, listen, Buffy's got this. She's a strong, independent woman. Don't you worry about her. Buffy's like creeping along in the mausoleum. And who does she run into? Well, first of all, she runs into like a lock pad. And I'm like, girl, with your super strength, you can't just crush that in your hand.
Well, at first she was like, I'm stuck here. I can't get out. And then guess who comes? Guess who's back? Back again.
Angel is back.
Angel's back. Tell a friend.
Cryptic as ever. Okay, Angel, here's the thing. I think you had said, like, Buffy doesn't have to do this alone. And I'm like, okay, but why does Angel just keep showing up and pretty much doing nothing? This is the second time.
He's ethereal. He has no way to do anything.
He's just there to crack wise.
Well, he's like, he comes by and he's just like, well, he didn't do nothing. He gave her that necklace.
He said, don't go in there. And that's the first episode. So he did, okay, he did something the first episode. But this episode, he's like, don't go in there. And she's like, you don't have a key, do you? And he's like, no, they don't like me very much. And she's like, okay, well,
what's the opposite of a demon?
An angel. Angel. There you go. Yeah. That's him. But that's just his name.
No, he's an angel.
I mean, I haven't seen any winks. I haven't seen a halo. I haven't seen any cherub babies around. Have you?
Yeah, he's a cherub. He's an angel.
Where are his wings?
They're hidden.
I mean, I'm just saying. But he just like shows up with these like one-liners, doesn't really do anything. But I will say, at the very least, he's eye candy. So I'm not going to be mad about it for too long. But if he just starts popping up every episode and does absolutely nothing to help Buffy, I'm going to be a little irritated, especially if he's going to try to take credit for her
He's literally her guardian angel. He's telling her, do not go in there. It's not safe. And but I think that also he's like, do you think that is Cupid an angel?
I think Cupid is a cherub.
He's a cherub. And
wait,
a cherub
is an angel. Are cherubs angels?
I think
angels of the second highest order. So yeah, cherubs are angels.
Okay. So you know how like, Cupid is like a flirty boy.
Yeah, Cupid is like, I'm just going to fly around in my underpants and shoot people with my little heart arrows and they're going to fall in love. Right. What a perv.
Sure. But Angel is kind of like he's kind of like a professional flirter.
He's the sexy version of a cherub because he's like, I'm just going to give you my bedroom eyes and look at you and be like, hey, girl, don't you go in there.
So I think he just like pops in, flirts with Buffy. They have that sexual energy about them and then just like evaporates out.
Yeah, I will say I felt a little bad for him when she was like, don't you know what having friends are like? And he just stood there so silently. I'm like, oh my God, he has no friends.
He has no friends. He doesn't have his only
friend, and she's not even his friend because he just told her his name.
He never got on with the Easter Bunny or the leprechaun. And so he has nobody as the Valentine's Day mascot.
But to your point, in terms of him being a guardian angel, right? Like, he does give her instructions where he's like, okay, take a left at the stumpy sewer pipe. You know what I mean? He's trying to guide her. But then it was really strange to me that she's like, oh, aren't you going to wish me luck? And he, again, he just gives her that brooding stare. She leaves and then he like almost whispers. He's like, good luck. It was very much like shades of like, I love you.
I mean, that's next episode or the one after.
How many episodes until Angel professes his love for Buffy?
No, Buffy's gonna profess his love first.
I think this is a fun little wager to have. I think that Angel falls in love with Buffy before Buffy falls in love with Angel.
Okay, I mean, sure.
She's a slayer, bitch. Who wouldn't want to fall in love with her?
I don't know. He doesn't even have friends. How is he going to, like, how is
he going to? He needs her because he has no one.
No, I will say your spouse can't be your only friend.
Oh my God, no. Red flags. Red flags everywhere. Yeah,
pretty huge red flags.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So he wishes her good luck and slips a little love note in her backpack. And then she goes down and then she meets a rat, but that's okay because
she doesn't even flinch when a ginormous rat crawls across her foot.
Yeah, maybe she hangs out in New York City often. And then we find another rat and it's just Xander because Xander came down and followed her. And he
brought a flashlight and she's like, what are you doing? Are you a moron? Don't use a flashlight down here. I obviously have superior vision.
I mean, very true. I think that she probably has dark vision and she's able to see in the dark and is not too concerned. But she is now stuck with him.
Yeah, she's basically like, well, I can't just leave him alone. I guess I'll have to protect him. Mm-hmm. But she obviously, again, she's the slayer. She usually is doing things like on her own. She's an independent woman who don't need no man. But she's stuck with Xander, who has the flashlight and won't stop using it. And so he's asking, like, okay, what's the deal? What's going on with vampires? How do they work? And it seems like garlic is on the list, Sarah. We have confirmation. Mm-hmm. Garlic is a good option.
Now, why do you think that vampires don't like garlic? Do they not like flavor? Do they not like Italian food? Like, what is their problem?
I mean, they only like blood, which has like a metallic taste, I can assume. So like they just don't like the strong flavor of garlic. Now, here's the thing.
I feel
like the move is to carry on your person at all times a toothpick. Because that seems like the smallest possible steak you could have. So easily portable. Mm-hmm. I really don't want to be carrying around ginormo crosses. It just feels like very gaudy. But she does have a wooden cross that she whips out of nowhere and hands over to Xander. So that seems helpful. Holy water can't be that difficult to obtain, right? You just splash in some of that and blinding them. It's kind of like the vampire version of a mace. You know, pepper spray.
Yeah, that's very true. Okay, hold on. Let's see. Why are vampires affected by garlic?
Yeah, what does it say?
I think it has to do, well, garlic is a powerful antibiotic, and some Europeans believe that the beliefs were because a disease of the blood, so a powerful antibiotic would kill a vampire. Is that? Wait, no, maybe this is vampire bats. Okay, I don't know.
Oh my god. So anyway, okay,
some people say that garlic, like, vampires have heightened senses and vampires think that's too smelly. If anybody knows anything about vampires, like, can you just advise, because I don't think that I'm getting a good answer why it repels. Yeah.
But what, from what we know, based, like, so far, it's crosses, garlic, stakes through the heart, all bad things. Holy water, I think, is another one.
Yeah. You're like, why can't you have access to holy water? Because you have to go to a church.
Okay, but get like a jug of it and then put it in small bottles that you can carry around with you, like hand sanitizer.
Yeah, but, like, what are you going to do? Steal it from, like, a poor little baby's baptism? Like, what are you talking about? No,
I think you just walk into a church and you're like, hey, I need some holy water.
Where do you think it comes from? It just doesn't come from the rain. It has to be blessed. I think you just need
someone to bless it. Yeah, so what? They can't.
Not by a priest. I think it has to be blessed by, like, a pope in the Vatican.
The pope? You think all holy water is blessed by a pope? Do you know how much holy water there is in the world?
A deacon. Yeah, what do you think that the Pope does all day besides,
he's just, like, blessing holy water all day?
His job is to bless. Yeah.
I mean, can't he just take, like, a pool's worth and, like, do one blessing and be done? That seems like, you know.
That's between him and God. I don't know.
Okay. Well, Buffy starts getting into the last time she beheaded someone. And I love how casually she talks about taking an X-Acto knife to somebody's head.
Yeah. I mean, apparently that's all it needs because she has super strength. I don't think an X-Acto knife is chopping off anybody's head. Also, like, so why don't they like crosses? Because it's, like, ungodly? They're ungodly?
Because they're demons and they don't like God.
Does Jewish stars, the Star of David, do anything to them? I don't think so.
Not according to this show, but, like, who am I to say, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe they're just against all religion.
I don't know. I mean, the master was complaining earlier that they had to hang out in, like, an old church.
Exactly. He's like, I really hate this place. It's giving me the creeps.
Yeah. He's like, I would rather hang out in the Barnes & Noble, but I'm stuck here.
And then meanwhile, in probably the, like, most dated, hilarious scene of the episode, we have Cordelia hanging out with her BFF, who turns out is the girl who wants to go swimming in Adam's Family Values. She's, like, the volunteer.
Oh,
the little blonde girl who's a big pain in the ass.
She looked familiar. I was like, who is this woman?
Yeah, that's her.
She kind of looked like the actress that played Meg in Veronica Mars, but it wasn't her.
Yeah.
Okay, so I knew that she looked familiar. So they are talking shit about Buffy because what else would you do at school but talk shit? Love that.
Yeah, they're in the computer lab and, like, Cordelia is really struggling with this assignment. And Harmony, they're talking about, like, all the cool places in Sunnydale, whatever, whatever. And they're like, Cordelia's basically like, Buffy is such a weirdo. She attacked me. Mwah. And then they're talking shit about Willow, saying she's such a nerd. And Willow's sitting right there. And my favorite was when Willow totally fucked them over. Like, Cordelia back in the 90s was like, I don't know how to save a document.
Yeah, she's kind of like my boss that makes me save PDFs all day long, because she says, oh, you have to, she's like, how do I send this? And Willow says, you have to press, well, she's like, you gotta press deliver.
Yeah, deliver. And then Cordelia finds DEL on her keyboard and is like, this must be it. And apparently it deleted everything.
What a dumb idiot.
Love it. I loved to see it because Cordelia sucks ass and I hate her so much that anytime anything bad happens to her, I'm on board.
I feel like a lot of bad things are going to happen to her. I feel like we're just going to be, like, tormenting this woman until she's dead.
Good, good. Well, speaking of, then Xander and Buffy run into Jesse in the middle of the tunnels. And, like, I mean, pretty much immediately, I think everybody knows that he's a vampire, right? Did you suspect he was a vampire?
No, because he didn't look like a vampire yet.
Well, because they can hide themselves.
I know. I don't know. I was just like hopeful. I'm not sure. But like, why would he get released? And I knew he was there for bait, but I don't think I knew that he was going to be a vampire
just,
already.
It was just so sus that he's like laying in the middle of the tunnel with no one else around with a lock on his foot. And that's like, so I guess they really didn't give a shit about him escaping.
He had like a ball and chain on his foot. Yeah. He's like, I'm stuck here. I have no place to go. I'm stuck. Yeah. So he lures them in. They're like, okay, we're going to run. And Jesse reveals himself as an Uggo. And he's like, I'm a vampire now. I feel so powerful. I'm, you know, on top of the world.
Yeah, this was so funny to me that, like, she's like, oh, man, we can't get out. And Jesse's like, I have an idea. And he's like, you can die. And he gets the ugly Star Trek face. Yeah. And he's like, it's time to eat, baby. And honestly, of all the people in this like core group they could have taken in and made a vampire, Jesse makes the most sense because he really wasn't happy with his station in life at the moment. He couldn't pull any of the girls he wanted. So now he's like, well, guess what? I'm gonna take all those girls and just suck on their necks.
Wow. Life is looking up for Jesse. I'm not gonna lie. Mm-hmm. I think everything's okay now. So he is about to attack them, but Xander pulls out the wooden cross, which it's so silly. They're like, Jesse's like, oh, I'm scared now. Yeah. You have a little wooden cross.
Yeah. And here's the thing. The other like little lore drop we get about vampires is I think they have some sort of like enhanced hearing because he says he can hear the worms in the earth. So to me, it's like, okay, so maybe they have supersonic hearing or something like that. And so something to keep in mind for us.
That's why they don't like garlic.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, he holds the cross up to Jesse and Buffy's like, come on, hello. Like, we gotta go. There are vampires coming.
So they push Jesse out and then they go through some sort of I don't know,
like vent system
exactly. Yeah. And then they escape narrowly.
The vampires also have super strength and are like crushing this metal door that's like holding things together.
Yeah, they try to grab her and pull her back in, but thankfully she was saved and she still got to keep her shoe.
Yeah, because Xander yoinks her out of the roof. Yeah. He's and like they're just yoinking this guy's hand out into the sun, which again, vampires hate sun.
Yeah, they hate sun. So mm-hmm. Master is not happy. He said, I only have idiots working for me and you all are idiots. I need you all to get your shit together because I need to feast and you're going to ruin my party, my bar mitzvah of sorts, the harvest. And I'm so angry and I'm so hungry. And you know what? You random vampire that's not Lucas, that was also, I guess, important to me, are dead because you fucked up too many times. You're fired.
Yeah, he's like, you know, we found out why he needs the pointy fingernails because he has very, I mean, it could be because he's been like, you know, in his pool of blood for 60 years. Sorry, 60. He's been chilling in a pool of blood that his fingernails have just been allowed to grow free reign. Yeah. But instead, he's like, you know what I'm going to do with this nasty old finger? Boom, in your eye.
So he stole his eye?
No, he just shoved a finger. He killed the guy with via fingernail to the eye. Wow. And at the same time, we know Daddy Vampire has jokes because he's like, oh, you've got something in your eye, douche.
It's so nice to have somebody so talented and so evil and so funny. Yeah. You know, he's multifaceted.
He has jokes.
Yeah, maybe we are the ones that don't understand Master and we are the problem.
It could be. I mean, certainly could
All he wants to do is have some dinner and go outside and have his pointy nails and have a bunch of employees that are not idiots. Isn't that something that, like, we all want, to be honest with you?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So, Willow is very happy she has solved something on the web.
Yeah, so she shows back up in the library to talk to Giles and, like, try to get an update. No Buffy, no Xander back yet. But she says that she was, like, going through a ton of old newspapers back in, from 1937. And she does say, like, during that time period, there was a ton of murders, and they all are, like, very bloody, I guess, or, like, you know, throats slashed and blood and blah, blah, blah. And so it seems like, okay, this has been going on for a while leading up to what is going to happen at the harvest.
Yes. Thank you, Willow. That is very helpful information, unlike Xander, who is unhelpful.
Yeah. And then we get Luke going back to his daddy, and they do a little ceremony together, like, my blood is your blood. My soul is your soul. It's very sexual. Yes. My body is your instrument.
Ooh.
You want someone to say that to you, Sarah? My body is your instrument?
Yeah, I think I would like that. I want somebody to give themselves to me in all capacities. That is literally the only thing that I want in this world.
Yeah.
So I think that the thing is that now Luke is a vessel for the master.
Yes. He is daddy's favorite. He
once again to be a parent's favorite.
Basically what happens is
the
now
only one that's not an idiot.
Yeah.
The only thing that Darla can do is light fucking candles. That's the
only and steal daddy's food.
Like, literally, he's like, you know what? I don't trust you anymore. Like, you're on candle duty, bitch.
Watch me mark up Luke's forehead. Watch me do it, bitch. Watch me.
Enjoy your new job.
But yeah, he says, like, basically, for when Luke is going to feed on everyone, it's going to provide master with strength. Right. And he's going to be able – I'm not going to lie. Master does have some epic lines where he says, tonight I shall walk the earth and the stars themselves will hide.
Oh, he's a poet. He's funny. He's a poet. He's talented. He's evil.
He is very ugly, and he's a vampire.
He's so ugly. He is a vampire, but I feel as though he can definitely get – like anybody he wants in underworld.
And the thing is, something to mention about Master, as much as he's an egomaniac, because it's been 3 score since he's had any.
I just love, like, you literally learned the meaning of 3 score.
I love it
and
so much.
You said it like 9 times.
Said it first.
It's like, it's kind of like when you get the word of the day calendars and you have to use it in a sentence.
I will this not stop. You. Everything will now be in terms of score. A half a score is 10 years. 2 scores, 40 years.
So wait, it's 30 years? It's 30
years. 60. So he's been, it's been 3 score and every score is 20 years. So
do you know anybody that's 3 score?
No, no one. Oh my, is my mom 3 score? My mom might be 3 score.
You don't know how old your mom is?
I always have to do the math. She is actually. No, she's 3 score, but she'll be turning 3 score plus 1 or later this year. okay, but great. Master, since he hasn't gotten any in 3 score and he's been just in his pool of blood, no matter who he has for the first time, it's going to be like a revelation. I'm just saying it's going to be very easy to impress Master. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Just because it's his first time in a while.
And in 60 years, in 3 scores.
I'm really happy for him, but I'm also like upset for the other person.
Yeah.
Darla is so annoying.
She's the worst at this job.
She is like orgasming over there over the ceremony. It's like, Darla, this is not about you.
Vessel. Yeah.
It's not about you.
To be vessel.
Well, she can't be. She's not good enough.
She's not daddy's favorite. takes daddy's food.
No. But she's like very in on the ceremony. Like, it's probably supposed to be very private. And she's like jonesing back there.
Yeah, she has her teeth out. She's like hissing. She loves it.
Darla, get out of here. Get out of here. You ruin everything.
Yeah. And then Buffy and Xander go into the library to update Willow and Giles. And I love my favorite is how seemingly people don't really give a fuck that Jesse's a vampire. Because Willow's like, oh, any updates on Jesse? Is he dead? And Buffy's like, worse. And she's just like, oh, okay.
Oh, well. She's like, you know what? Like, I liked him, but I didn't like him that much. So I guess
it's okay. No tears were shed for Jesse.
Okay, do you think that there's any way to reverse the curse
of being a vampire?
Yeah.
No, once it's done, it's done. You're a vampire or you're made into dust with a stake.
Ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
Exactly. Yeah. But I love that not a single tear is shed over Jesse's, you know, not death. I don't know what it's called. Undeath, immortality. And no one cares. But immediately they're back onto like, okay, what are we going to do about the harvest? And Giles starts talking about like 60 years ago, three score ago, a very old... three score ago, a very, very powerful vampire like came out from the under the ground or whatever. And are you just laughing at the score? No one can tell. So yeah, he says a very powerful vampire came to the shore, not just to feed. It's basically, he's basically saying like, this is why Buffy is like destined to be here, because this is like where the settlement was. And it's translated to Hellmouth. And so it's like,
I just fell asleep.
Listen, I'm not even British and you're like falling asleep. So I don't know what the problem is.
The problem is that this is boring.
All right, this town is a portal between reality and like the vampire and the demon world. That's all you need to know. That's why it's called Hellmouth. That's why all this is happening.
Duh. Once again, duh. Because basically Angel said in the last show, in the last
he said, episode, welcome to Hellmouth.
Yeah. No, he said, this is the mouth of hell. That's all I needed to know. Okay, well,
Giles is a fan of the lore keeping, and he wants to let all the lore girlies out there know exactly what's going on.
This is the definition of this could have been a text message, not even a phone call or not even an email, just a text. Like, I know, Giles. I know, and I know because Angel said it so much better in the last episode that this is the mouth to hell. I know that it's the place. I know.
Except you didn't know about the earthquake, and that's what swallowed him.
Who, Master?
Master, yes.
Well,
he got himself stuck like a cork in a bottle, is what Giles says. And the harvest is going to help him come back out. Basically what happened, this is like even the shorter version of it. Master was quarantined for three score. That's it.
Big same. We all did. You're not special.
Exactly. You know what, Master? Been there. Okay.
Been there. We too know. So he, okay. So because, wait, who swallowed him?
The earthquake basically got him swallowed because the dimensional portals are tricky business. Mm-hmm. And so he fucked up. Earthquake swallowed him for three score. And in order for him to come out, the vessel, aka Luke, needs to go around and suck a bunch of people.
Okay, whatever.
And that's it. Okay. And so they're like, basically, Buffy, keep an eye out for this like triangle on someone's face, because that's how you're going to find out that's the vessel.
I also think like, look out for the most evil and powerful looking.
She's met Luke. Vampire. Like, she knows he's daddy's favorite. Like, she knows that Darla fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's other people that could be more important, but then the other guy fucked up and he's dead now. So
yeah, eye through the or fingernail to the eye. But mm-hmm. The crazy thing to me is I guess we could give Xander a modicum of credit because he's like, listen, I know exactly where they're going to go. They're going to go to the Bronze because this is the hottest teen club that definitely doesn't serve alcohol. And that's, he says, all those tasty young morsels. Ooh, tasty young. We all know Master loves a virgin.
Yeah.
So that's where they're going to go. And then, and then Buffy's like, okay, but first we got to get supplies.
Which is a cute outfit.
I mean, and also she has like a whole trunk that has like holy water and shit in it.
But more importantly, a cute outfit.
Yeah. Except... her mom is such a fucking buzzkill.
Yeah. Mom is like, where do you think you are going? We need family time. And Buffy's
you
like,
missed class today. You're in big trouble.
Oh, yeah. The principal told on her.
Well, and worst thing about it, Sarah, is that apparently Buffy's mom is one of those book on tape girlies who reads like How to Be a Parent 101. Parenting for Dummies.
Yes. This is so important. to do self-help books. So she's like, you know what? I feel as though we need to put special attention on this. And if you don't want to hang out with me, I totally understand, but you're going to have to stay in your room.
Yeah, she says, if you want to sit up here and sulk, that's fine. I'm going to go make us dinner. And it's like, bitch, Buffy has a window and super strength. Do you think anything's keeping her out of, in here?
Oh, gosh. Why doesn't she just tell her mom that she had, like, the truth?
I think because she's afraid that her mom would send her to, like, literally, like, an asylum. Because she's like, bitch, I'm the slayer.
Well, her – okay. So then at what point is her mom going to find out? Because it's going to be soon.
Oh, okay. Let's put – okay. See, I think so many more other people are going to find out before her mom finds out. Do you want to put bets on, like, what season Buffy's mom finds out? Are you saying season one?
Yes.
I will say season two. I don't think it's going to happen this season. I think they're going to take some time with it.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's only 12 episodes. So she basically, Buffy's like, you know what? I don't care, Mom. I'll stay in my room. That's fine. She's not going to stay in her room. Of course she's not. She opens up her special hidden trunk.
Yeah, she has a hidden compartment in the bottom with tons of garlic, a bunch of steaks. We got tons of little bottles of holy water. And you know what else she has? Just for a little snack. She has a little bit of communion wafers.
A whole bunch.
A whole jar. Sometimes you get a little hungry.
Is that another part of it? It's like anything that's from a church that's memorabilia is considered a vampire killer.
Here's what I think they do. Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. When you're getting ready to kill a vampire, you like strap it down with some like silver or something that hurts it. You put some like communion wafers over their eyes, like they're going to the spa, and then boom, stab with the stake.
Oh, it sounded so relaxing. And then you just rip the rug from under my feet.
I stabbed them. Yeah.
You stabbed them. So she collects all of her stuff. She leaves the communion wafers at home. I guess she doesn't need that for now, but she brings her pointiest stake and puts it in her sleeve and packs up her backpack and just leaves. It's time to go.
Yeah. With her leather jacket, by the way, she looks very cool.
She is very cool.
She's sporting a very high pony with some wispy bits coming out the front, a leather jacket. I mean, honestly, I love everything about Buffy style.
Buffy's way cooler than I can ever be.
I like Willow's overalls.
Ooh.
I knew you were going to hate them, but you know what? It's better than what Xander's wearing all the time.
I would say that she looks like a dweeb, but
of course you are.
So we are at the Bronze, the hottest place in town that definitely does not serve underage people.
Yes.
And we see Cordelia talking shit like normal. Now she's talking shit about Jesse.
Yeah, she's like, I hate young boys. I only go out with seniors.
Yeah, that boy Jesse is such a jeweler. But she sees, does she see Jesse at this point? Because Jesse got a makeover and he looks hot now. And he has Riz. He's really cool.
He slicked back his hair. He put on a leather jacket. He's a little bit paler than normal. And he has the confidence. That is the thing he has. So while like Cordelia and all her friends are just like dancing around, Jesse is doing that like, you know, that kind of lurking stalker stare that can either be sexy or creepy.
Yeah, yes. He's smoldering at her.
Smoldering in the corner, which again, creepy or sexy really kind of depends. Mm-hmm. But he's staring at her and she has her eye on him and she's just like, why is this man looking at me? But basically he walks up and he's just like, we're going to dance. And he tells her to shut up. And she's like, yeah, baby, neg me.
I love how she's like, I love a boy who's a little bit verbally abusive.
Yeah. Can we please raise our standards, women? Please? Can we raise our standards?
It might be impossible. But she likes that he is seeming like a bad boy now. And then they start dancing. But then Darla in
the slow-mo.
Full Uggo form and her crew of other Uggos.
Why are they in Uggo form?
I don't know.
It seems like a terrible idea if you're trying to be under the radar.
I don't think they are. I think that they're like, fuck it, it's harvest time. Let's go, bitches.
Bitch, we're going to harvest.
Exactly. Lucas is there with his like little red dot on his head and they're trying to get in and like the bouncer's like, No, you know, you guys look pretty ugly. You're not allowed in the club. And they're like, we're going to citizen arrest you and come on. And they get him and then they all go on stage and they're about to sing karaoke, but they're not, because in reality, they're like, hello, everybody. It is the harvest and you're all doomed and you're going to die.
This is crazy to me that Luke gets on stage, starts this like a whole spiel, and that no one tries to leave. They're all just like so enwrapped by what he is saying. And it's so funny because even after they bring, basically the doorman is going to be the first sacrifice, even though we know he's definitely not a virgin, because he is built. So ain't no way that man is a virgin.
Yeah.
He's just like, listen, you're going to be the first sacrifice. Watch me do it, people. Like, okay, Luke loves to be watched. He loves to be watched.
Well,
because he caresses this man's head and he's like, yeah, baby, watch me do it.
I love a warm touch. So yeah, he like tends, I think like, he's about to snap his neck.
Well, yeah, but he sucks on it because we immediately flash from Luke to the master, who is full on getting like seriously getting hard off of this, because he goes like, ugh. Like, he loves this.
Like when you're so thirsty and you finally have a sip of water.
He's being
like,
quenched, bitch.
Yeah. He like stretches his body out. He's like,
give it to me. Give me more doormen, please.
Yes. And then Buffy and her crew come and are trying to get in. But like they really showed up late. Like Buffy took too long getting ready.
She said, I didn't know I was going to get grounded.
It's rough. So they're trying to get in, but the door is locked and there's no doorman. So they're trying to find an alternative way in to get into the club to stop the vampires. It's a mad dash. And thank goodness Giles is there.
Yeah, because Buffy's like, listen, you all are responsible for getting all the innocents out. I'm going to take care of this. And Giles straight up warns Xander. He says, listen, I know Jesse was your friend, but that guy isn't Jesse anymore. Like he is a thing now. So he's not your friend. And of course, Xander basically goes in ear, one ear out the other immediately.
Yeah. Luke is snacking on all the hoes and Jesse is trying to get on Cordelia, but Darla is like, no, this one is special. She is pure evil, just like us, and we are going to take her away.
And Jesse's like, I don't even get one.
No, you don't, Jesse, because you are on the lowest part of the totem pole. You're like the unpaid intern at this point, you know?
Yeah, you're newest guy. You're the youngest baby little vampire. You're not allowed to have any of Master's food.
No snacks for you.
Yeah, and one of my favorite moments is when Buffy is like up higher than everyone else because she like snuck in and she's looking down and sees Luke on stage and she just sees this the triangle on his forehead and she goes, Vessel. And then another vampire like right behind her basically like hears her and hisses at her.
should I start hissing at people?
Boo hiss.
Boo hiss. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Luke is about to snack on Cordelia, but Buffy has thrown the hissing vampire over the rafters and she's like, hey, you ugly guy, like, stop. Don't kill the school bully.
Yeah, we need her for reasons so that we can still have her on the show being an awful person.
That girl is on the opening credits. She will not die today.
And Buffy's like, you know what, bitch? Watch me do this. And she does this like cartwheel where she flips down and lands like a boss ass bitch on a pool table.
Wow. What a talent.
Yeah. That's not even the end, because then she does another basically like a flip off the pool table, grabs a pool cue, stabs a vampire with it.
How many of these stunts is Sarah Michelle Gellar doing? Zero, right?
Not a lot of them.
She's
no.
not doing, I mean,
she
like,
might be
yeah.
doing like the kicky flippies, but I don't think she's doing any of the like actual tumbles, you know?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. Like, she doesn't have the tumbling ability, does
it's
she?
Very cheesy. Like, if you're not into the cheese, this is not for you, because there's a lot of cheesiness in this where she like shoves Luke's into a pile of chairs and then she does a bunch of kicks at him. And it's,
it's very like, ooh, ah. Like,
Punch noises, kick noises. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, and like a lot of like, you know, karate grunts.
It's almost like a tennis match.
Yeah. This is what I was talking about earlier, where like I felt like this was like a little bit like cheesier than the first episode. So she's fighting Luke, but she's also trying to protect her friends. She beheads somebody via drum cymbal.
The best death, in my opinion. That was my favorite death.
That was pretty
Well, actually, that might be my second favorite death, because my next favorite death is coming up, where like the rest of the crew is able to finally get in the back entrance and start shuffling out the innocents. And Buffy is like being held back by Luke. And this is when Xander comes up, and instead of just staking Jesse like he should, who's standing over Cordelia, he's like, Jesse, don't make me do this, man. Don't make me do it. And the timing is incredible, because Jesse is about to full on kill Xander, and then he gets bumped by some random passerby and basically just pushed onto the stake that Xander's holding.
Okay, so like, did Xander murder his best friend?
I would say inadvertently, yes.
That's a very tough thing to bear.
It was incredible, though. Like, we can't deny the absolute, like, lovely moment that was Jesse just disappearing into dust because he accidentally fell on the stake Xander was holding.
Yeah, oops. So also, while Darla is trying to get Giles, Willow throws holy water at her, and she starts like burning up. I don't think she's dead, but maybe she's somehow even uglier than she already was.
Yeah, it kind of seemed very similar to like when you like the Wicked Witch of the West or East or whatever, you know, because she basically just starts smoking from the head. So it definitely, I'm wondering if next time we see her, she's going to be bald. Like, I don't know what happens when you throw holy water on a vampire's head, you know?
Yeah, I don't know either. We have Buffy do something really, really smart, because she tricks Luke into thinking that it's daylight by cracking open a window, and he thinks that it's sunlight, but in actuality it's a light outside, and it's really like 3 a.m. maybe even not, maybe 9 a.m. 9 p.m. But she tricks him, and then she's able to stake him in the back, and he goes away, and which and also dust. Makes he's dust, he's gone. The master feels it, and that scares away all the other vampires, the lesser vampires.
Mm-hmm. And master Buffy falls to his knees.
Yeah, yeah. That sucks to lose your favorite child.
He's upset. Yeah.
Then you're stuck with your second favorite child. And then
Darla?
What's the point in that? I know. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. Great news, because while Buffy was working her ass off, and even poor Willow had to put in some work, Angel was outside doing absolutely nothing.
Lurking, as always.
Yeah, yeah, doing nothing.
And he just says, oh, great, she did it. I can't believe it. Yeah, no help from you, Angel.
Yeah, suspicious, but anyway.
I'm just saying he's going to have to do something eventually for me to give him credit beyond just be hot, you know?
No.
You think that's all he has?
That's all he has to do.
He gets a spinoff, Sarah. He must do something.
Just wait and see, I'm sure.
How many episodes until he pops his wings?
Oh my god, you ask this every episode.
We've done 2 episodes!
I think that's gonna happen episode 7.
Okay, I'll say the finale, he pops his wings.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Next day at school, everyone is happy and healthy and eating their lollipops. Why they're eating lollipops, I don't know.
The headscarf, like, though, was so of the time.
Well, Buffy looks so good. She's so cool.
She can wear anything. Yeah.
Yeah. So they have a new hope, a new lease on life. They're feeling good.
Yeah. The craziest thing to me that happens in this scene is like Giles is like, oh, they'll get over it. They can like reconcile with anything, basically. And then we see a conversation happening between Cordelia and her friend. And she's basically like, oh my God, it was so crazy. Like, there was so much crazy shit going on. And the other girl's like, oh my God, I wish I'd been there. And I'm like, girl, no, you don't.
Oh, I think it's because Giles was saying, like, everybody seems to, like, get their memory erased a little bit. Like, they're, like, very, like, foggy and confused about what happened.
Yeah, who does Cordelia, this? Is this just, like, a result of the vampires or something?
I think so. Like, because even wasn't Willow saying, like, yeah, like, things are just, like, a little, like, more hazy now or something like that. And, like, Giles was like, yeah, that happens.
Yeah, it's very strange. Cause he says like people will just rationalize whatever they can and like forget mm-hmm. what they can't figure out. But yeah, basically we find out that like, well, we've stopped Master's attempt this time, but he's not just like gonna go away. So, and the way that she says, like Giles says, it's not just vampires. So like, I definitely feel like we're in the world of like anything is possible. We're going to get a ton of these type of like mystical monstrosities on, you know, in the show.
What are you hoping to see?
Gosh, I really hope they wait till like season two for werewolves, because I don't know that I'm gonna like appreciate the physical effects of the werewolves on the early days of the show. I'm down for anything. I think it'd be fairies would be fun. Fairies would be a lot of fun.
I love a fairy, like maybe a Medusa vibe.
Ooh, I would love like snakes on a like as hair would be cool, incredible. Be down for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, but that's the harvest. You know, one attempt thwarted, but we'll see what happens next time with Master now that his favorite child is dead.
Life is going to be tough now. He's just going to have to make more kids.
Yes. He's going to need to reproduce a little bit more.
Yeah.
But that's our episode. Of course, we did get a ton of feedback. I just want to shout out and say, like, thank you all so much for the feedback you've been sending in. I feel like we've been getting so much feedback about Buffy. Some emails or messages just being like, I'm so happy you're covering the show. Like, this is so exciting. We appreciate anytime anybody literally says anything to us. So thank you so much for sending in feedback. And if you want to send in more, shit90spod@gmail.com, shit90spod.com, you know where to go to send in your feedback. But yeah, we heard from Elena, who said that apparently, she went to Sunnydale High School. So she said that they filmed Buffy there. They also filmed 90210 and she's all that there. So if you have any questions, we should reach out to Elena to get answered about the location.
That's very cool. Was it like fun to go to that school? Like, did you get to see like people filming there? Did you get to meet any celebrities there?
Yeah, I want to know the tea on that location. We also heard from Sophie, who's really excited that we're covering Buffy. She said she has been a fan of the podcast since the beginning, but she, like, you know, Buffy is obviously like her absolute favorite, so she's really excited about it. And she said it did start her lifelong obsession with TV along with the show Friends. And she also said she did give us some advice. She said that we should mute any mentions of Buffy on our social media because it's super, super like popular and it's very spoiler heavy. And also apparently we should try to find the original formatting of the show because they like changed the ratios. If anybody knows how to do that, let us know, because I'm just basically using Hulu. That's what I'm watching.
Okay,
are you watching on Hulu?
I'm not watching on Hulu. I'm watching on the Plex.
The Plex. Okay. So let us know where's the place we should be watching it. Also, Sophie is from Spain, so that's incredible.
Ooh, Sophie, that's so cool.
Love that. And she also says Buffy is one of her favorite characters of all time. She says she's one of my top all-time favorite BAMF, badass motherfuckers, characters ever, along with Hermione and Lois Lane.
Amazing.
Incredible. Very excited to have you along for the ride, Sophie. We also got another email from Sarah with an H. She said she was really excited that we really liked the first episode because she was very nervous about, like, you know, just how it's not as good as some of the others, like the special effects and the monster faces and all of that.
That doesn't bother us at all, I don't think.
We're you. I mean, I feel like if this was maybe our first show we were ever covering, maybe it bothered us more. But we're very used to, like, the 90s-ification of, like, the shows we're watching.
I like that they're uggos.
Yeah, it's fun that they're uggos because we get to make fun of them more.
Yeah.
They look jacked up.
Their teeth.
Yeah.
Veneers.
She said she listened to our first podcast and she did have some answers to provide context for us. She said Buffy is sassy and confident. She's always ready with a quip and a stake. It's one of her best qualities.
Love it.
And she said it's true that everybody wants to be Buffy or wants to be with her. So we were right on that. She did say that, like, yes, the movie takes place in, like, the canon is the same. So, like, she burns down the gym at the end of the school year in the movie.
Oh.
And so, like, it directly connects, from movie to show.
All right. So we need to watch it. We need to watch it at some point.
Maybe we're going to have to watch it. Yeah.
Season one and season two.
I think that'd be fun. Yeah. Yeah. That seems like a fun idea. And she said it definitely follows the Monster of the Week format, but within the larger structure of the of a story arc of the season and series as a whole. So that's kind of nice. I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me. That seems to be how a lot of these types of shows function. So that works. And she said we are eventually going to get more backstory and some flashbacks to Buffy's past, which is exciting. She said Julie Benz is the actress who plays Darla. Apparently she's really known from this role as Darla. Whereas I knew her from, like, Rita and, you know, Dexter.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Darla, queen.
Yeah.
Maybe you are the master's favorite child.
Well, I mean, Luke is dead, so someone's going to have to be master's favorite, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
She does say that most vampires can switch back and forth from human face to vamp face. However, you notice that the master never does. He's always in vamp face. This is true of the older, more powerful vampires in this universe.
Oh, yeah, because, like, why would the master want to hide who he wants to be recognizable?
I mean, he's master. You know, he doesn't give a fuck what people think about his face.
No, of course not.
Yeah. She says she doesn't think Buffy's bed is a king size bed. It's just that she's a very small human.
I think I agree with that, but it still seems like the most comfortable bed in the universe.
Yeah, that's really, really funny. Apparently Cordelia's nickname is Cordy.
Cordy.
Which I'm gonna still call her Cordelia because I really hate her.
Cordy.
She also was joking about the fact that we were like Giles is Giles Jeeves and the whole Ask Jeeves thing.
Basically, I think that we need to make Ask Jeeves a resurgence. I think it needs to come back.
Yeah. But anyway, so thank you so much for your email, Sarah with an H. I'm really excited to get so many emails from everybody with, like, all this, like, backstory of stuff. It's very interesting to me.
It's very fun. Yeah.
Yeah. We also got an email from Linda. She said that she thought I maybe recognized Xander from Criminal Minds because that was like the show he was on the longest besides Buffy. And she says, apparently, this is, like, a little behind-the-scenes tidbit, Joss had originally wanted to shock everyone by putting Jesse in the opening credits and killing him off at the very beginning of the season, showing that nobody is even as safe, even a main character can die. The budget for season one was so low, though, he wasn't able to afford two opening credit sequences. I feel like even without Jesse being in the opening credits, seeing them lose a friend so early still conveys the message, the stakes, pun intended, are high in Sunnydale.
Yeah, yeah. The stakes are definitely high. I do like that. I think that's really important to establish that when people are gone, people are gone. Like, we're not probably coming back.
I can't imagine.
Maybe not like a Jesse, but I think
him go to dust. I think that's it, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you. Like, obviously, it's always like, where's the body if someone dies, you know? But she also says, like, the moment that Willow fucked with Cordelia with the deliver was, like, the moment that she fell in love with her. And she says she says she had a funny story where she has like a ankle related phobia, like she's afraid of someone like grabbing her ankle. Oh. And so when that happened in the episode, she jumped up, accidentally hitting the voice dictation button on my notes app, and on her phone it said, "No, fuck you," because she was yelling at the TV.
Oh my gosh, that's so creepy. I think that I had the same fear with my old house's basement stairs because it didn't have backs.
Yes, all basement stairs are like that. I think everybody has that fear when they're like at least a kid.
Yeah, just like somebody grabbing you.
It's the same reason we all ran and leapt onto our beds when we were children, because there could be a monster under there that was about to grab your ankle.
Anything is possible at this point. Yeah, especially in Sunnydale.
Yeah, exactly. So that was our episode. That's our feedback. Again, if you want to send in any, shit90spod.com, shit90spod on Twitter and Instagram, and shit90spod@gmail.com. We love getting feedback. We love hearing from all of you. And we have a long road to go here with Buffy. Next episode, Sarah, is titled Witch, and not like the witchy witch, like the broomstick witch.
Yes, and I have no idea who that could be about.
I mean, we're going to get into a little black magic, seems like.
If only we're so lucky. If only we would be so lucky.
Listen, we loved Witch Island. I'm confident we're going to like Witch for Buffy. So
I sure hope so.
That's happening next week. I
sure hope so. Very excited. Catch us cover more Buffy content next week. Also, we are covering Felicity, which I just found out today that Buffy and Felicity aired on the same night, Tuesday nights, on the WB back in 1999, which was entirely intentional for us and not at all a surprise.
Yeah, totally on purpose.
Yeah, but that's pretty neat that we're covering a show that, you know, aired back to back, 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock respectively. So catch us cover Felicity and all that fun. We had a really good episode covering Thanksgiving this week that I very, very much enjoyed. Yeah. And then we also covered Empire Records, and we're going to cover That Thing You Do later in the month.
Yeah, a lot of exciting stuff coming up for us. So stay tuned. We have Buffy Thursdays and Felicity Mondays. So that's where you can check out those podcasts. And we appreciate you all listening and following along on this journey we're going through Buffy. So catch us next week covering Witch. I'm excited to see what kind of monster we're going to be fighting now that we vanquished some vampires. Seems like we're going to get into a little black magic. So we'll see. But until next time, everybody, have a good one. Bye. Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.